lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
The last time in our study of the book of Acts, we saw something happening within the church, and that something was sin. We read about two people, a husband and wife, Ananias and Sapphira, who had lied to the Holy Ghost. They lied. They told that they had given so much to the church. You know, they'd sold some property, and they wanted people to think that they had given all the money to the church. Well, they didn't have to anyway. I mean, they didn't have to give anything to the church, but they lied, and they said they had given it all. Well, they died because they lied to God. And you see, God wanted to show the early church that He was a holy God who hated sin. God wants a pure church. God wants a holy church. God says, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 16. God does not want liars and hypocrites in the church. And in the beginning days of the church, God made it clear that He was not playing games. Sin is a serious matter with God. Today, God does not strike someone down every time they lie or do something wrong, but God wants us to know that He is still a God who hates sin. May God help us to learn a lesson from Ananias and Sapphira. Well, trouble was inside, came from within, with Ananias and Sapphira within the church there, but there's also not only today does it happen, but it happened in the early church. There was trouble from outside. And Peter and John, when we go back to Acts chapter 4 and verse 3 and verse 13, we see that Peter and John were arrested and put in prison. And we keep reading. We come up to Acts chapter 5, and we see that in spite of all of these things that took place that we've read of in chapter 4 in the early part of chapter 5, the church continued to grow. In Acts chapter 5, verses 14 and 16, it says, "And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, every one." The Jewish religious leaders became really concerned and jealous because of the great success the apostles were having. Because we read in chapter 5 and verse 17 of Acts, it says, "Then the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him," which is the sect of the Sadducees, "and were filled with indignation." See, finally, the religious leaders grabbed all the apostles and put them in the common prison. Acts chapter 5 and verse 18 says, "And laid their hands on the apostles and put them in the common prison." Well, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 19, we see that God did something even better than Houdini the magician. Because it says there in Acts chapter 5 and verse 19, "But the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors and brought them forth and said." We're going to see what was said there. And as we keep reading in verse 20, the apostles were instructed here, go, stand, and speak. Where were they to stand and speak? In the temple, to the people, all the words of this life, the words of life about Jesus. Well, the apostles heard, and they say in verse 21, they said that, and they went, and they taught. Acts chapter 5, verse 21, "And when they heard that, they entered into the temple early in the morning and taught. But the high priest came, and they that were with him, and called the council together, and all the senate of the children of Israel, and sent to the prison to have them brought." Now remember, Peter and John were placed in prison. And no one let them out except God. God had sent his angels to let them out. Well, the religious leader said, okay, they've been in prison. I'll bring them here. They didn't know they were out of jail. And the religious leaders, not knowing the prisoners had been released by an angel of the Lord, called for the prisoners to be brought before them. Acts chapter 5, verse 21. Well, there's a big surprise that takes place. Acts chapter 5, verses 22 through 25. But when the officers came, now they went to the prison to bring Peter and John to the religious leaders. And when they came and found them not in the prison, they returned and told, saying, the prison truly found we shut with all safety, and the keepers standing without before the doors. But when we had opened, we found no man within. Now when the high priest and the captain of the temple and the chief priest heard these things, they doubted of them whereunto this would grow. Then came one and told them, saying, behold, the men whom you put in prison are standing in the temple and teaching the people. Well, notice here, the first Christians to suffer, the apostles. They were arrested again, and they were questioned again. You see, what the religious leaders were evidently asking them was this question, Acts chapter 5 and verse 28. Why did you teach when we told you not to teach? Let's read that verse. In fact, let's start with Acts chapter 5, verses 26 through 28. Then went the captain with the officers and brought them without violence. They went to get Peter and John. It says they came without violence, for they feared the people, lest they should have been stoned. And when they had brought them, they set them before the council. And the high priest asked them, saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? They were talking about the name of Jesus. And he goes on saying, behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Well, we see the apostles' answer to Acts chapter 5 and verse 28, that God said to speak. Notice verse 29. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than the men. Verse 20, remember, God told these men, go, stand, and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. Well, they said, we're going to listen to God. We're not going to listen to man. And I would have you to remember, the Jewish leaders commanded the apostles not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 4 and verse 18. But they said, we're going to do what God wants us to do. Well, this brings to mind that once there was a king who told Daniel not to pray. Daniel chapter 6. But Daniel prayed as he had done before because he was thankful and he prayed to God. Daniel chapter 6, verses 5 through 9 says this. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him, concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, and the princes, the counselors, and the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now notice verse 16 of Daniel chapter 6. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Remember, Daniel would not bow the knee. They cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest, continually he will deliver thee. The king did not want Daniel to go down there, but he had made a decree that couldn't be changed. So Daniel was placed into the den of lions. Notice it wasn't the lion's den, it was a den of lions. In other words, it was full of lions. Now verse 10 of Daniel 6 says, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows were being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. In other words, The reason he was placed into that den of lions was because he prayed to God, his Father. Now, when we think of this, we sometimes think that when bad things happen to us, that what good can come of it? But you see, when Peter was arrested and he was brought once again before the religious leaders, Peter preaches to these people. He preaches to the religious leaders. In Acts chapter 5, verse 30 through 32, he says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree." You see how that Peter continually tells these people, "You are the ones who killed him. You're the ones who caused Jesus to go to the cross." And he says, "The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom you slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him." Well, how do you get the Holy Ghost? Remember, we talked about that. You obey God by asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart. You receive him as Lord and Savior, and you have the Holy Ghost. You have the Holy Spirit living within you. Well, now, when we think of Acts chapter 5, verses 30 through 32, we see that Peter now takes the opportunity to preach Jesus to the religious leaders. He told them Jesus, the one they had slain, was raised by God from the dead. He further told them God had exalted Jesus to be a prince and savior, and that Jesus was able to forgive sins. In other words, he told these people that Jesus was able to forgive them. No matter what they did, they were responsible for the death of Jesus, but Jesus can save anybody. He wants to save anybody, and he wants to forgive sins. Well, notice the result. There was results of Peter's preaching. The religious leaders are greatly offended. In other words, they were convicted in their hearts. And the religious leaders discuss killing the apostles because of what they're saying to them. Acts chapter 5 and verse 33. When they heard that, this is the religious leaders, when they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even through the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word of God is quick and powerful. It's like dynamite. It explodes with something that cannot be explained except by the Holy Spirit taking hold of a man's heart and telling that heart, "You need to get saved. You need to trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior." And it tells us exactly who we are. The Holy Spirit lets us know that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. That means everybody. There's none righteous, no, not one. But thank God, the Bible goes on to say, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Now, if you've never trusted him today, I don't care who you are or what you've done, you can be saved today by trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to repent. That means to have a change of mind, realizing that you're lost without Jesus Christ, that you're on your way to a devil's hell, and that you need something. And that something, and that someone is Jesus Christ. You can't save yourself. You want Jesus to save you. You've understood that you are a sinner, and without Jesus, you're on your way to hell. Now, you need to trust him. You need to ask him to come into your heart. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Oh, Lord, save me. I want you as my Savior. If you'll pray a prayer like that, God will save you if you mean it in your heart. Trust him today as Lord and Savior.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.